So today I will talk a little bit about visualization and imagination. What is the difference? What is the purpose? Now, the main difference between visualization and imagination is that the imagination is more subconscious, while visualization is very conscious. It is what you do with your conscious mind. But the fact of the matter is that in real life, these things are not so neatly separate, not so neatly differentiable. When a child learns to play, you know, if a boy plays with matchbox or with some monsters, what he does, for you it may look like some silly thing of throwing the monster into the air and letting it walk and so on, but what actually is happening is that these toys, they are aids for the child to develop his skill of imagination. So now for you it looks like he is doing silly things with his toy, but if you could see a little bit, if you could look a little bit into the child's mind, in the child's mind, there is much more to it. He begins to imagine certain things about the monster or matchbox or for the girl, the doll. Now they start to perceive. The girl starts to see the doll as a real child, and the boy starts to, when he plays with his matchbox, some images come into his mind of fast running cars and these kind of things. So these kind of toys, they aid the imagination of the child. And this is the first step in developing this faculty of imagination. Then the child slowly grows a little bit older, and by the time it reaches poverty, then all the sexual fantasies that arise in regard to his playmates and the neighbor's girl and the beautiful girl at school and whatever, or totally imaginary things. So now this is kind of the second step in the evolution of that faculty. And if a teenager can, if in a teenager this faculty is functioning in a healthy way, then he is not so overly tense and excited about this whole business. Now he can play out certain things in his mind, so he does not immediately have to run after the girl, or in the case of the girl, after the boy. And he doesn't have to do foolish things in order to at any cost get this kind of sexual experiences, because he at least to some degree can play out certain movies in his mind. And that is, for a teenager, it is just a natural thing. And if he wouldn't be able to do that, if he's a very coarse, sensual person who has no imagination at all, then he's likely to do perverted things or do crazy things to win over the girl at any cost. And of course, the coarser he is and the longer it takes to satisfy this desire. Now, if you cannot satisfy this desire even in his imagination, then a certain pressure built up, and psychological problematic conditions start to manifest. So now this is one of the purposes of this faculty of imagination, that it can prevent that. You can do certain things in your mind, then it's not so urgent a thing anymore to do it without. In a similar manner, if you're angry with somebody, it's a natural thing up to a certain point, depending on how developed your nature is. But for a teenager and for a not very highly developed person, it is a kind of natural thing that, the school bully boy did something nasty to him, then at least in his imagination, he murders him or sees himself, fighting back. And that is releasing some of the pressure. Or in his imagination, he can work out, depending on the development, in his imagination, he might work out that, that bully boy is a primitive person and he sees him either as a savage or as a demon or whatever, while perceiving himself more as a refined being of much higher civilization. If he can use his mind in this manner and perceive images in this regard, then he can fix his mind. He doesn't have to run after that person and murder that person. So that is a very important function of this faculty. Then, usually around the age of 13 or 14, many cultures have certain initiation rites, wherein, especially for boys, wherein especially the boys are initiated into manhood. There's made the clear cut, wherein the statement is, before you were the boy, you were just a child, and now you're entering adulthood. In Christianity, you have the confirmation. In the Jewish religion, you have the bar mitzvah. In many indigenous cultures, you have, like in New Zealand, the Maoris, they have bungee jumping or other kind of initiation rites. Many kind of indigenous people, they have their own particular initiation rites. Now, in Buddhism, especially in Southeast Asian Buddhism, you have young boys or teenagers becoming a monk at least for a few days or a few weeks, which serves a similar purpose. And if you have this important rite, if you have this kind of education, this part of educating children and guiding them into manhood, then another form of imagination will develop. Because these kind of initiations always come with certain teachings, certain secrets of life are revealed to the newly becoming adult. And these teachings usually explain certain things about how life works, whether you have ideas about demons and gods which govern the world, which will develop this faculty of imagination in a person. Now, if you have an idea of things are governed by gods and demons, you know, for example, you see somebody becomes angry or starts to shout at you or becomes aggressive towards you. And a child would either react with fear or with anger. But if a person has gained this kind of initiation into adult life, then ideally he will have received certain teachings, and whether it's, you know, thinking that, you know, that person is influenced by demons or is of a demonic nature, or whether you think, you know, these mind states are non-self and they are just, you know, passing clouds in that person's mind, you know, all such teachings will come with certain kind of imaginations. It's not what you see. You see at best by the facial expression that person is angry, but these teachings, the purpose of these teachings is that there develops this kind of overlay over the perception, a positive overlay, which kind of fills the world with another world. Now, the empty spaces that you see between material things become filled with things of the imagination. But the point is, this sounds a little bit kind of negative, but the point is, if these forces or these images that are projected into the empty space between the material objects that you see with your senses, if they aid in making sense of the movements of these material objects, if by means of these you can make certain predictions and you can see certain connections, then these are meaningful imaginations which don't just have a psychological benefit. No, the psychological benefit is that at that moment you're not confused, you're not in delusion. Even if what you imagine in the empty space is not an exact representation of what is there, if it works for your life, then if it helps to improve your life, and if you're not at that moment confused, then we can say the psychological benefit is that you're not in delusion. And because it helps you also to improve your life, if it helps you to make certain predictions as to the outcome of an action, you do the action or another person is doing the action, and you have images in your mind, what will be the outcome? Then the benefit is not just psychological, but also practical. It helps you to improve your life. And actually many times it helps you, you know, to improve your surroundings. Because now, for example, when you are a child, you believe you're the center of the universe. Now, everything is about me. But now, when you pass through these kind of initiations, generally what is taught there is that you're not just the center of the universe. The universe is a vast place. And you have to understand that other human beings, especially, have an equal right to live, have an equal right to happiness. No, they function in very similar a manner as you yourself. And if you have these kind of teachings, then you start to perceive not only individual people, you start to perceive a whole. You perceive the community, which is an abstract concept. You cannot see a whole community usually, but you can in your imagination, you can understand the idea of a community and the idea of that there's a certain benefit that also comes back to you when there's harmony in the community, and that you can contribute to that harmony of the community, and ideally that you have a certain responsibility to contribute to the harmony of the community. And if there's one person who is doing the opposite and is disrupting the harmony of the community, then you can either start increasing the situation by fighting with that person, or you can try to balance out that situation and develop more responsibility for the community. And this is a kind of mature imagination that ideally should be cultivated throughout life. And the more knowledge we acquire about how the world works, the more refined, ideally, our imagination will become. And the more revealing our imagination will become. And if our imagination becomes revealing, when it reveals how things work in the natural world, then we can predict the outcome of our actions, we can improve, we can make certain improvements on the natural world, which equally includes ourselves and other people. So this is the meaning and function of imagination. Visualization, on the other hand, usually has this kind of connotation that it's a conscious act, which is not yet, it's a form of imagination, but which is not yet in accordance with our nature. Now you can visualize a house that you want to build, or you can visualize your friend, perhaps because you see a certain benefit of visualizing your friend. Now maybe if you're clever, if you understand certain things about the mind, visualizing your friend can help you change your mind, perhaps from a sad condition to a more beneficial condition. You think of your friend, you try to visualize your friend, then maybe positive emotions arise and you feel some amount of metta, of loving kindness. So, but therein, it is a form of imagination, because imagination means creating images. So visualization is creating something visual. It's the same thing, basically. But visualization is more a conscious act. But for example, if you would, for example, if you are a meditator and you want to visualize your friend in order to develop some metta within yourself, or some positive feelings in general, then you might start with visualization. You look on some picture or something, or you try to revokes the picture in your mind, and that is a visualization. You evoke a certain picture. But when it starts to become alive and certain images arise within you as to the nice things you might have done, or the good qualities of your friend and so on, if you can start, if the images become alive, then we would call that rather imagination than visualization. So visualization is more that capacity to hold a picture in your mind, or perhaps at best to generate a sequence of a few pictures in your mind, while imagination is more alive, it's more lively. Usually you don't talk about imagining a clock on the wall or imagining some static picture. Now, in such cases, you would usually use the word visualize and visualization. So apart from that, visualization has this kind of purposefulness to it. Imagination is something that can reveal some kind of deeper purpose of yourself that your conscious mind may not be entirely aware of. Now you put a certain information about certain things into your mind. Now for a Buddhist, this might be the law of karma. So now you learn certain facts about the law of karma, then when certain situations arise, then your imagination may show you, may throw out certain pictures to your conscious mind as to, this person is suffering this because such and such thing is likely to have happened in the past. Now he has done some crime and now he faces a result. Now things get stolen from him, or he suffers some loss, for example. So now you have put in at some point a certain piece of information into the mind, and your imagination starts working to process that information. Now it aids in processing that information, but it's not that you decide the pictures. It's not that you decide, I want to see such and such images. It's your unconscious mind sort of throwing these things out. While again, on the other hand side, with a visualization, you decide the picture. Now you formulate the picture. You create the picture. And you can kind of manipulate the picture. But again, there we can see that one thing is moving into the other. So these are not entirely different faculties. Because, for example, in the case of the law of karma, you might, your subconscious mind or unconscious mind throw out certain pictures, but then you might ask yourself, what would a certain action that I do now or that he is doing now result in? What would be the result in that? And then you try to visualize the result. And so if you kind of consciously try to formulate or create a certain image, then it's more visualization than imagination. So the two faculties are not entirely separate and different, but there is a purpose in differentiating them. And that's maybe all that I can think of at the moment about that topic. I hope it made clear what is the difference between imagination and visualization, and also what is their purpose? What is the purpose of each? So that was the main purpose of this talk.